The senior warden told me that just the other day a parishioner came up to him and said, "You know, I really enjoy coming to a church with such a big endowment as the Church of St. Michael and St. George. It means we never have to cut anything. I don't need to give very much." And he said, "Excuse me? Didn't you read my letter in June? We haven't come close to making our budget. Our endowment isn't nearly big enough. We need your money." And isn't that the way it always is? We like to think that stewardship is about what the church has and what the church needs, when in reality, stewardship is about what you have, what you need to give. Jesus gets personal with us in stewardship. And I ask you, what do you expect from Jesus? Jesus wants what you got. And one thing 21st century Americans have is money. In spite of the economic downturn, in spite of the non-existent recovery, America continues to be the richest nation on the face of the earth. We've got money. And you're surprised that Jesus wants it? This is Jesus. You got it. He wants it. He's busy doing God's work on earth as it is in heaven, and that is expensive. Now, to be fair, we don't most of the time speak frankly about what Jesus wants. Most of the time we present Jesus as the answer to our own needs and wants. You have some need, perhaps peace in a troubled life, perhaps the need for greater hope and confidence in the future. Well, Jesus is the answer, we tell you. And we call this evangelism, the attempt to lure people toward the gospel in an effort to win people to Christ by putting forth all the benefits of following Jesus. Looking for meaning in life? Jesus has got it. A sense of serenity and hope in a difficult and demanding world? Jesus has you covered. Find where people itch, and then find a way for the church to scratch it. Or as one marketing type once put it, the church is here to meet people's felt needs. I love that. This morning, the gospel comes from Mark, the earliest of all the gospels, I'm told. Mark certainly wants to reach people with the message of Christ. Mark's gospel begins with the words, "Here is the good news of Jesus Christ." Here in Mark is good news about Jesus. And remarkably, when compared with the way we talk about Jesus, Mark has very little to say about our felt needs, our struggles, our difficulties. Mark mainly talks about Jesus. And when he talks about Jesus, it's not Jesus as the answer to our problems that Mark stresses, but rather Jesus as a strange and demanding Lord. As the disciples walk along with Jesus, a couple disciples say to him, "Lord, grant us the right to sit on your right hand and your left hand when you come into your kingdom." Those who sit next to the chief are those who share in the power of the chief. In other words, "Lord, when you get yourself elected Messiah and your kingdom has come, we want to be Secretary of State and Attorney General." Now, it's an understandable request for these disciples to make of Jesus. After all, here are the ones who've left everything, and they've come to follow Jesus, to walk along with Jesus on his way. Why did they commit to Jesus? Well, unlike a lot of people, they believe that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the great leader who's going to come and kick out the Romans and set up Israel in her rightful place as the most important nation in the world. And it's not easy trooping along around behind Jesus through Galilee and Judea. So their request is understandable. "Lord, when you finally get everything together and win your kingdom, let us sit beside you when you're ruling your realm. Lord, when you at last bring peace on earth, let that peace begin with me, in my marriage, in my family. Lord, when you at last lift up the poor and set things right in the world, be sure that I'm one of the major beneficiaries." And Jesus replies to this perfectly understandable request saying, You haven't got the faintest idea what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Of course, we know what the disciples don't know. The road that Jesus is walking is a road that leads to suffering and death on a cross. The cup that Jesus is to drink is the cup of horrible purgation. The baptism that will drown him is the baptism of his death as he suffocates hanging on a cross. And the disciples show how clueless they are when they respond, "Sure, we can do it. We're able to drink your cup. We're able to be baptized with your baptism. No problem." Are you able to receive the peace, the benefits, the joy, the sense of deeper meaning or reassurance or whatever that Jesus is giving out this week? "Sure, we're able," we answer. Are you able to be crucified like I am to be crucified? Are you able to suffer, to be rejected, to be disappointed like I am to suffer and be rejected? Jesus asks. And these dreamers, these knuckleheads answer, "Sure, we're able." And you expect Jesus to say, "You idiots, here it is, deep in the Gospel of Mark, and you are still clueless? You show by your response that you haven't been listening. You haven't got the faintest idea what I've been talking about all this time, have you?" And maybe Jesus was thinking that, but what Jesus actually says is, "You will drink the cup that I drink, and you will be baptized by my baptism." Jesus promises his disciples not that they will share glory with him, be rewarded, and be carefree. He promises them that if they follow him, they will share in his sacrifices and his challenges. Two disciples ask to sit next to Jesus in his glory, one on his right and one on his left. But when Jesus comes into his glory, it's not on a throne with James and John. It's on a cross, two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. And this is the message that we are reluctant to proclaim to the world. Perhaps because we're reluctant to hear the message ourselves. Jesus isn't a technique for getting what we want out of God. Jesus is God's way of getting what God wants out of us. God wants a world redeemed and restored. Now, and here's the bad news, I'm glad you're all sitting down, that costs money. And the way God gets that is when ordinary people like you and me are willing to walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, and yes, even if need be, give like Jesus. I've always thought it would be quite enough of a challenge if Jesus had only said, "Even though I'm the Messiah, the Son of God, Savior of the world, I'm going to be crucified." And unfortunately, for a lot of our ideas about religion, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, "There's a cross for you too. Come, take up your cross and follow me." I drove by a church the other day with a sign up front that proclaimed, "Celebrate recovery. Come, celebrate recovery, redemption and renewal with us." Have you ever seen a church with a sign out front that says, "Come, be crucified. We've got a cross that fits you too." But you've got to give him credit. At least Jesus is up front about it. You can't accuse Jesus of bait and switch. "You will drink the cup I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I have been baptized with." You're thinking sip of red wine, splash of water. No. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is asking a great deal out of his disciples. Jesus is asking a great deal out of you and me. Think of the gospel reading we heard last week. As Jesus walks along the way with his disciples, a young man comes up to him, inquiring about eternal life. He wants to engage Jesus in a theological discussion. Now, few people come up to Jesus wanting to talk theology. most of them coming up wanting to be fed or wanting to be healed or with some ethical problem. And so it's curious that Jesus doesn't bite. He refuses to engage the young man in an abstract theological discussion about eternal life. Rather, he invites the young man to be his disciple. And he doesn't say, "Believe the following things about me." He says, "Follow me." And Mark reports that the young man gets depressed, turns, and walks in the other direction. And Mark says the reason was money. He doesn't walk away because he failed to believe that Jesus was Messiah. He walks away because he has lots of stuff. This is the only place where anyone has a direct, face-to-face call to discipleship by Jesus and turns and walks away in all four Gospels. And the reason is money. Jesus asks from us anything that stands between him and us. And for that young man that morning, it was money that stood between him and Jesus. Which makes me wonder, if Jesus is going to ask something from you, what do you think it's likely to be? A friend of mine who's a Baptist preacher in Virginia told me very proudly that in his congregation at the offertory, he stands up front and he says, "Well, we are now going to have something called an offering. And the offering is when we give money to help fund the work of God in this church. And if you're a visitor, we're glad you're here today. Just sit back and enjoy the music. Just enjoy it. Should you decide to affiliate with us, and we hope you will, then you can help support the church too." And I looked at him and I said, "Wait a minute. Why wait a week to start working on their greed? Let's get started now. Hey, people, put money in the plate." I said, "If I was the pastor in your congregation, I'd come out and say, this is an offering. It's not a metaphor. It's not a symbol. Put the money in the plate. If you can't handle this, you'll never be able to handle what's coming next." Look, the truth of the matter is that Jesus gives it all away. And this morning he says to his disciples, "You will drink my cup. You will be baptized with my baptism." Do you want to drink his cup? Do you want to be baptized with his baptism? For many of us, maybe for most of us, it starts with stewardship. For if you have a lot, the only way you're going to come to resemble Jesus is to give some of it away. And that's the good news. Amen.